Chris, you want me to say anything? It's great to be here. I had a great time this morning at the rodeo. I did a little television show here. I just met with the former speaker who I like, and the last time I was here, there was scaffolding on the Capitol, and now that it's off, it looks beautiful, and it's really fun to be here. And we've got a full day planned, and I'm looking forward to it. I guess just a little bit I would tell you. Ohio was in a very tough position when I became governor, and I took a lot of the things that I learned in Washington, where I was the chairman of the budget committee, and driving, spending a big chunk of my life to get the budget balanced, which in fact we did in 97. I was one of the chief architects, and we ran up a big surplus of $5 trillion, and things were going pretty well. And the process of getting there, you know, was taught me a whole lot of being able to put people together, to solve big problems, to answer the bell. And we'd cut the capital gains tax, and America was doing extremely well. I was also, of course, on the Defense Committee for 18 years and was a defense reformer. I think in those early days when I was trying to limit the production of the B-2, I think Jim Leach was with me on that, as I recall. I had a big bipartisan group of people, and we were able to, I think, move a defense policy in a direction that made more sense. And then I left for 10 years and went into Ohio. We were $8 billion in the hole, and we'd lost 350,000 jobs. We were really struggling. Our credit was in the balance, and today we are structurally balanced. We're going to have, at the end of this budget period, at least a $2 billion surplus. We've cut taxes by $3 billion, with a big chunk more to come in this budget. And we are now up 360,000 jobs. And at the same time, we've diversified Ohio's businesses, where we're not just agriculture and steel, although we love them, it's part of our DNA, but we have diversified the business community in Ohio with IT and with cloud computing and with medical devices and financial services and logistics companies. It's been an exciting transition. But the other thing that people should know is that this economic growth, the good things, are not an end unto themselves. So I have made a very serious commitment to make sure that people who live in the shadows are brought out of the shadows, that they're not ignored. So if you're mentally ill, or you're drug addicted, or you're working poor, or you're developmentally disabled, or if you're on the autism spectrum, we're here to help. We're here to help you to get on your feet so you can live out your God-given purpose. And we also have made a great effort to make sure that our minority community feels as though they're being listened to, responded to, and helped, so that we can have significant prosperity, and we can create entrepreneurship with our minority partners in the state of Ohio. All this was rewarded in a really terrific result in the election, one of the best election results in the history of the state. And I think it happened for two reasons. One is because, we are now making significant gains economically. And secondly, because our message is really clear. Everybody needs to be included. Everybody needs to be listened to. Everybody needs to have an opportunity to live the Ohio dream, which is part of the American dream. So I'm glad to be here. I'll be talking a lot about this today and trying to give people my biography, because most people, they really don't know much about me. So, and part of the reason why they don't is I spent my time focusing on Ohio and travel around planning anything for the future, because the challenge of Ohio was a big one. And now we'll let people know how we're doing. Well, first of all, I haven't made a decision about whether I'm going to be a candidate or not. And we are looking at a series of metrics. You know, we're a very disciplined group. Some people try to say, you know, I'm not a disciplined guy. Well, you can't balance federal budgets, change things in the Pentagon, and fix Ohio if you don't have discipline. And it's now reflected in the way we look at the campaign. I will not do this if I don't think I can win. And so we have both a resource metric and an organizational metric. And we're looking at it, and we'll make a decision in the not-too-distant future. I hate to sound like a broken record, but we've not made that determination yet. But I'm optimistic that things are moving in the right direction. And in terms of our overall strategy, yet to be determined, and I'll be back to let you know how it goes. I know this. When I was here, 16 years ago, I was kind of a kid. I was a congressman, and, you know, I mean, people, they said, you know, we like you, but, you know, could you come back again, like when you get a little older? And so I never really kind of thought I would be back, but it's possible. So we'll let you know. Well, I think that if they're law-abiding and they register, I think they ought to be able to stay. I mean, they may have to pay a penalty. And, you know, look, I have two 15-year-old daughters, and I've tried to teach them about ditching the line. Do you know what that means?
I do.
Yeah. You know, you don't ditch the line, girls, and if you do, you don't get rewarded for it. So there may need to be some sort of a penalty for people who did ditch the line. If they, of course, have violated the law, then that's a different issue. Then they have to be dealt with. The thing that I keep wondering about, and I've talked to some of my former colleagues who were in Washington, is why we have had such difficulty being able to protect the border. And, you know, the border issue is one not just of being able to control the borders of your own country, but you know, who might want to use a porous border to come in and do us harm? And this is something that I'm going to spend a significantly more amount of time on to try to determine that. But the border needs to be strengthened. But for people who are here, I'm not for putting them on a school bus, driving them to the border, opening the door, and telling them to get out. That's not practical. And I have to also say that many of them, even though they came here and did jump the line, they're significant contributors to our economy. And just this morning, I see this mom and her son, and I'm looking at them, and, you know, they're good people. I mean, they're made in the image of the Lord. And, there's a big element of compassion connected to how we treat people who are trying to find their way to a better life. I don't approve of them ditching the line because, you know, we have some friends who stood in line, and they abided by the rules, and it's frustrating to them. But at the same time, there's sort of a practical element and a human element that's connected.
Governor, you made two comments already about a relationship with God. Just the other day, Pope issued a program with regard to the environment.
Yeah. No, I don't think I did. You must have. You know, somebody said the other day, you may see half of what I say, but let me talk. First of all, you know, I don't know that I have a high enough standing to get into a big critique of the Pope, you know. Somebody once said that, that I bankrupted Lehman Brothers from a two-man office in Columbus, Ohio, and I said, well, if I did that, that probably qualifies me to be Pope, okay? And I was a Catholic boy and an altar boy and a commentator and all that. Here's what I said. First of all, there is a great theologian by the name of Francis Schaeffer, and there also was another great saint. His name was Francis, and he was from Assisi. And many people think that this Francis has modeled his life after Francis of Assisi. If you study Francis of Assisi, he had the same message, really, that Francis Schaeffer had, which is we have an obligation to protect God's creation. We have to be sensitive about the environment. What I didn't agree with the Pope on, because he's got Argentine economics, and I love people from Argentina, but their economics, with his version, leave something to be desired, which is this has all come about because of free markets. And the thing I would say is he's equally concerned about poor people. And free market economics have lifted more people out of poverty in this world than any other system. So it is not inconsistent to think that we can be sensitive about the environment. We've cut our emissions in Ohio by 30% over the last 10 years. There's nothing inconsistent with economic progress and with a concern about the environment. So like in my state, to give you a specific example, and some reporters here from Ohio, they passed a bill a couple years ago to take a water take out of the Lake Erie. Every single Republican voted for it, and I vetoed it because I thought it endangered the little streams and tributaries. That didn't go over real well, okay? But it didn't matter because they then came back, we improved it. Now we've just passed a bill on protecting Lake Erie from runoff, which was really another critical thing. And we had both the agriculture community and the environmentalists supporting it. This is not like you have to win and I have to lose. So I think it's consistent with free markets, with economic growth, to be concerned about the environment, not worship it. That's pantheism. We don't believe in that. But that we can have both a better environment, which we have today, and still strong economic growth. I did ask the Pope, though, if he would pray for the Cavaliers in Game 6, and I don't. He probably didn't hear my request. They didn't win. Yes. Well, I found out it was superfluous. It didn't really have any major impact on anything. And the Second Amendment is important to people. It's critically important to many people in our country. And so, you know, I learned a lot from that. You have to remember it was all done, too, in the context of the crime bill, which I was in the middle of trying to improve, which my leaders told me to go in and do. And then once I did it, they realized, ah, we got a good political issue, and I was kind of left alone. But that was okay. But I thought it was the right thing. But look, it didn't work. It's superfluous, and we don't need laws that are superfluous. And, you know, I think that we've got to have very, very tough penalties on people who commit violent crime. And so that's kind of the way I see it. And the Second Amendment is an inviolate part of our Constitution.
Governor, if the Supreme Court acts...
If
the Supreme Court's decision regarding same-sex marriage, should the Supreme Court decide in favor of same-sex marriage, would that be a lift for Republicans? Would it be sort of a load off Republicans? That is...
Yeah, I don't look at things in political terms, you know, like, well, is that a lift or whatever. I'm a believer in the traditional marriage. If the Supreme Court rules another way, they're the court of the law of the land, and we'll abide by it. But in terms of a lift, I don't know. I mean, what are we worried about? Somebody's not going to like my opinion on something, or that I might lose a vote here? I mean, that's a problem with our country today. Too many people worried about polls, election results, focus groups, and all this other nonsense. And, you know, look, we don't have time. Look, America's a great country and still very strong. But we have an issue of the spirit of America, in my opinion. This is just my opinion, all right? I mean, my dad carried mail on his back, and, you know, his father was a coal miner, and my mother's mother didn't speak very good English. But they implanted in me something really unique. Not unique, but unique to America, the American dream. Johnny, you can be whatever you want to be. You know, I met with a bunch of kids today over there at the rodeo. I told them, I hope the cameras didn't pick all this up. I told them, I said, look, you have big dreams, go and pursue them. And so, you know, the issue here is let's just, like, try to fix problems in the country. And if you're going to put your finger in the air, and that's how you're going to make your decisions, then I don't want you as my leader. So, you know, look, let's see what happens on it. I've given you an answer. I stand by traditional marriage, but, you know, we'll see what the court does. People of our state have passed it, and I respect it, and I happen to agree with them, but we'll see what the court says.
Yeah, time for one more. We're also waiting for the court to issue a ruling on King Burwell. If the court rules against subsidies, what's the...
Let's see what the court does, and then let's see what the Congress does, and then let's see what we can do. I have my folks down there in the bullpen. They're looking at different kinds of solutions to this. But part of it is, I mean, I would hope that the Congress could... We'll see what... Look, we got to see what the court decides. I don't want to go down the hypothetical path here because it might not even... I may not even need to answer this question, but I do have my people putting some alternatives together.
What's your position on ethanol and renewable
Well, I don't know enough about the renewable fuel standard or what all that means, but we have it in Ohio. I have never supported that subsidy, but, you know, I actually knew this question was going to come, so glad you brought it up first. I mean, it's sort of like sometimes people ought to anticipate questions that are going to come, you know, like big ones. They don't always do that. But look, I'm not going to shut it down now and throw a bunch of people out of work in my state. I would hope that these subsidies will fade away. I'm not big on government subsidies. But in the meantime, I got people working there, and let's try to work it all out. But, you know, continuing to do things forever like this, I don't think is appropriate. But you have to have a reasonable resolution. You know, one of the things as a governor is, and I'm glad I was a congressman. You know, when you're a legislator, you really get an understanding of why they don't like executives. And then when you're an executive, you begin to understand the pesky nature of the legislature. But that is invaluable experience. The difference between being a legislator is you can sometimes be hypothetical. When you're a congressman, or when you're a governor, hypotheticals don't work very well. You have to solve problems. One thing I will tell you is, back when I was chairman of the Budget Committee in Washington, I sort of functioned as an executive because I had to produce a document, we had to pass it, and, you know, amazingly, we did, which was just great. But there is a giant difference between a theoretical position and a real position, and so I think over time this subsidy needs to go. And but in the meantime, we're just not going to turn around and throw a bunch of people out of work when we still have a very struggling economy. Okay?
Thank you
all very much.